Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Monday morning, May 11th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville.
Hello, everybody.
Eric Pickle.
Good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Good morning, fellas.
As always, the show brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team.
Welcome back.
Back from a nice week off, and I am ready to go on 2.5 hours of sleep.
Oh, my God. That means you were up late every night and you just couldn't stop.
I was up late a lot, and then I watched the UFC on Saturday night. Right. And I probably was up until 2:30, and then last night I watched both episodes of The Last Dance.
I did too.
That took me up until about 11:15 or 11:30 because I started a little bit late.
That's the move, though, so you can fast forward through commercials.
Can fast forward through commercials. So it's 11:30, then I would kind of get up to bed and just not tired at all.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a solve for that, you know.
There are multiple solutions.
Yeah. Yes.
You can go organic or you can go the chemical route.
I prefer the organic. I always
I actually went organic. I want to say I went organic around 2 a.m.
Oh, my God. Did you leave to go organic or did
you
go right
there?
No, I had
a partner.
Really?
Yes.
Did you just say?
That's
whack. That's a shocker.
I've done that. I just said, listen, I need some help.
I think I might have started that way, and then it became a mutual thing.
Yeah, right. Oh. Right. That's good. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Wow. But, I mean, funny. Usually you
And you didn't wake up anybody in the house.
Didn't wake up anybody in the house.
Yeah. So then you probably finally relaxed. It got some sleep, and then that damn alarm went off.
Yes, the alarm went off.
And it was brutal.
It seemed to be 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're relaxed for literally 30 seconds, and then you're panicking that you have to wake up in 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and then I did the thing where I hit the snooze for one, you know, 10-minute burst. What's the point of that?
No, well, it just makes you psychologically feel better. It doesn't help you physically one bit.
But I have to say, The Last Dance is so good, it's
really
worth
good.
It.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched it with my wife, and she was saying, so what did you learn from it? And I was like, nothing really. I kind of knew all this. Jordan was a fierce competitor and kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Episode 7 really highlighted how he tortured Scotty Burrell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I loved both episodes. I don't really remember what jumped out at me, though. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed those two episodes last night. I actually went on a marathon. I watched 4 straight. Because the week before, I didn't stay up. My kid couldn't watch it with me, and we never synced up. Uh-huh. So before the 9 o'clock airing or whatever, I sat down around 7:30, and I just started. And then Dee sat down with me, and she watched 4 hours straight because she was totally into it. And then she's sitting there, and she's going, "Wow, oh man, did you see that? Did you know that?" You know, she's doing that same bit throughout all 4 episodes. It was really, really good.
Yeah, one of the things I actually really like about it is clearly, much like you guys, I watched every NBA Finals game that Michael Jordan ever participated
right.
in. But you kind of forget, like, that's right, Frank Borkowski started for the Seattle Sonics.
Well, yeah,
and you see
those
these guys in the background, and I know every one of those players, and I'm not at that stage in life I'm still an NBA mark, but I don't know every player on the bench of every team. But when you flash me the old school Sonics,
you know all
I know
of them.
Every right. I know one of those guys on their bench.
I know, me too. Guys of our generation probably that just loved hoops. You see, because now we have kids and we have lives and you can't, you know, stay on track like you used to. All those guys, like, you just know them all.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Jason, I know you haven't seen it yet, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to spoil one moment for you.
Okay. Right?
And it's not a big deal.
It's fine. I'll watch it today.
There's a point there. The highlight for me was Gary Payton is a Hall of Famer.
Uh-huh.
He's legitimately a Hall of Famer. He's in the Hall of Fame, the glove. At one point, Payton was kind of pumping himself up because after the Bulls had won the first three games in their series, George Karl had decided he didn't want Gary Payton to play defense, even though he was Defensive Player of the Year against MJ, because he didn't want to wear him out, and mm-hmm. we needed your offense.
Right.
For game four, Gary Payton went to him and said, listen, you can't say anything anymore. We're down 3-0. I'm guarding. I'm checking Mike.
Uh-huh.
And so Michael struggled a little bit that game, and Gary's whole thing was being more physical and pushing him around and everything. But in Michael's mind, it had nothing to do with Gary Payton. He just had a bad game.
Right.
Then he had one more. Then the Sonics won the next game. So
Seattle won that game.
They won that game, and then they won the next game.
Yeah.
And then eventually Michael just pulled away, and they destroyed him.
He said, enough's enough.
And then they showed a video. They handed MJ an iPad or whatever. And it's Gary Payton puffing himself up going, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, I was physical with him. I didn't back down from Michael. You know, everyone else backs down from him. And Michael just started laughing uh-huh. and was just mocking him.
Right.
And he just was laughing. He thought it was the funniest thing he's ever seen. He said, the glove. He goes, he didn't bother me.
Right,
right, right.
He was like the greatest defensive player of his generation outside of Michael.
He was openly mocking him. He was just going, I had no problem with Gary Payton. No problem.
He didn't have any problems with anybody. But I didn't see six or seven or eight yet. But what jumped out at me from, I think it was five, right. was, obviously Jordan was a bully and he, you know, some guys didn't like him and he treated guys like dirt. But he was also funny.
Oh,
I thought
yeah.
Jordan was funny. When the media's trying to talk to Scotty on the way to the bus.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And he gets up into the bus and starts honking a horn.
Yeah.
And then he starts asking for 20 cents for people to get on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty funny to me. He actually had a sense. Well, yeah, but I understand what kind of person he was.
Yeah.
But he had a sense of humor.
I actually don't think he was a terrible human.
I don't think he was either.
He was just driven, and he just everything he did was calculated. It's what's coming through to me. Like, I think Tiger's a worse person. But because I thought they were maybe on an equal level, but MJ just wanted to push guys because he's always thinking, okay, how are we going to react in the playoffs? Can this kid handle the pressure? So I'm going to push him. Are these guys taking it seriously? I'm going to push him. You know, that whole thing. It wasn't that he was just an awful human being taking out his personal frustrations on them. It was just that he was damn near the coach of the team.
There were certain guys that he pushed harder than others, and it all worked out because that's the main reason they won six titles.
Yeah, and some of those guys, like Will Perdue in either episode 7 or 8, said, was Michael Jordan an a-hole? Yes. Was he a jerk? Yes. He goes, but looking back on it, completely understand why he was like that because he wanted to carry us to championships, and he needed us to help him get to championships, and he wanted us to.
They talked about.
Was Will Perdue happy he played with Michael? Yes.
Oh, yeah. He talked about how, my ADD is so terrible. I think he talked about how it was like, it was what they needed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It wasn't just he was being a jerk. It's what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
It's some of the best TV I've ever seen.
I don't know if I'm going to put it that high.
Oh, it is. In terms of sports documentaries, it's some of the best TV I've ever seen.
We're starving for sports content.
And
so
he's
bad.
A Jordan guy. He's super duper Jordan guy.
I know. I am too, but.
Is that coming out?
Yeah.
By the way,
I was watching yesterday when the Terps played the Tar Heels in 84 at Cole January 12th. I was at the game. I remember my mother and my mother's boyfriend at the time. Ernie took me to that
Grunfeld.
Game. Yeah, it was the only. I've only seen Jordan twice live. I told you this that game, and then once with the Wizards. It was on MLK birthday.
That's a pretty good one to see.
It was a good one. And it just brought back so many memories.
Well, that Carolina team, Maryland had a really good team because they had Len Bias, of course.
Yeah,
and they had
They had Branch.
Adrian Branch and Coleman.
Silky smooth.
Really good team, but that
Carolina team was so loaded. I can't believe that Carolina team didn't even make the Final Four. And in that game, Maryland was just so much smaller than Carolina. I mean, Doherty and Perkins were just so long, and they changed everything inside. But that just brought back so many memories. I was 14 years old. I remember going to the game, and I was just so bitter at the end because, you know, Maryland had like a 1-point lead, or they were down one late with 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes to go, and then they couldn't hit a shot. And then, of course, Carolina hit some free throws. But, man, it just brought back so many memories. It was awesome.
Yeah, I watched some of it, and then eventually I just tuned away, and I actually found a box score because I just wanted to see, well, how many points did Bias end up with? I think he finished with 19 or 20,
mm-hmm.
and Jordan maybe had 24.
Yep.
But I did watch some of it. It was really good. One thing which jumped out at me was how great the voice of Mike Patrick was back in the day. And he was a Junkies guest during the early years.
Local guy,
too.
Voice
of ESPN's Sunday Night Football.
Many, many times.
Yes.
Yep. Really good broadcaster.
It was cool seeing Mike Patrick. But some of the video wasn't great. I don't know.
Of course not.
I assume it was the same way for everybody where, like, the top of the screen was almost blurry.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was
1984. The tape literally disintegrates over time. Correct. And unless they digitally saved it, you know, they probably by the time that process was available, it just deteriorated.
Well,
sure,
also in that game with Mike Patrick was calling the game was Jeff Mullins. And Jeff Mullins is a distant cousin of mine way down the road, like maybe a third or fourth cousin. But Jeff Mullins went to Duke. He was an All-American guard. Ended up playing for, I think he played for the Warriors. But he did games with Mike Patrick for years.
Right.
And I've never even talked to the guy. But he was a second or third cousin of my grandmother. And that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, very much so.
I mean, I enjoyed it. And then just with Bias, it's the same thing you always think about. Like, man, how good would he have been in the NBA? He's drafted by the Celtics. They were just winning the championship. His mid-range shot, he had a similar mid-range shot to Jordan. It was deadly. Like that baseline jumper he had, he elevated over everybody and just knocked it down.
I remember, like it was yesterday, being at the South Bowie Rec Center in the evenings. It was when I was just starting to really fall in love with basketball. I played basketball, but I didn't, you know, not at any high level. I never did it at a high level, but until I got to DeMatha, I didn't fall in love with it. Because at DeMatha, it's like religion. And so I kind of fell in love with it. I remember going to the South Bowie Community Center and just in an empty gym and just trying to imitate Bias's lift on his jumper. And I would just, you know, for hours, just dribble and then try to pull up, you know, because he would shoot at the peak of his vertical often. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So I think that was awesome. And definitely The Last Dance, every time I watch it on Sunday nights. I don't wait until the next day. I watch both episodes on Sunday night every time.
Mm-hmm.
I always want more, and I'm disappointed because yesterday I think they ended kind of with the cliffhanger, which is maybe Jordan's toughest series, which is an Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana. Now, I did enjoy the build-up cakes. They highlighted Tony Kukoc hitting the game winner and Scottie Pippen taking himself out. Scottie Pippen does not come off great.
Watching these
episodes.
That was your inspiration for your late-night tryst with your wife.
Did they get it right? Did they get into Jordan's father's murder in any of the episodes?
A little bit.
They didn't really focus on the suspects, which is probably smart. Don't give those guys any shine. But I wanted to go into more. Like, I wanted to do a whole Dateline on it. You know? They didn't do that. I will say this about Pippen. They had, like, his worst moments, you know, like where he refused to go in and all that. But all of the guys said to him, man, it wasn't Pippen's character. Like, Pippen was a great guy. He just made a bad decision, you know. He just was frustrated.
Right.
And he immediately, I think, apologized to the guys.
But where he doesn't come off great, EB, is he said, he was like, yeah, I'd probably do it again.
He did say at the end, though, I probably would do it again, which was not that well thought out because my wife and I both looked at each other and go, why'd he say that?
Yeah.
But I thought overall his teammates loved him.
Yeah.
So
And somebody, he had a great year that year. So that was the year that Jordan went to play baseball, and they actually made it to the Eastern Conference semifinals. And Kukoc hit that game-winning shot against the Knicks in Game 3. They were down 2-0 to the Knicks in that series. And Kukoc rightly pointed out, he'd hit a bunch of game winners for them all year. Like, Scotty wasn't that guy. It just wasn't. He was as great a player as he was, and he was one of the top players in the league. He wasn't that guy to necessarily draw up a final play for. He's going to knock down a game-winning shot for us. And right. So Phil talked about it. He's like, we'd run this set with Tony Kukoc before. We drew up the play, and then he couldn't believe what was happening, that Scottie Pippen was taking himself out. Well,
did you mention that that Kukoc had pointed out that he'd already hit several game winners?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mentioned that literally 20 seconds ago.
The other thing that jumped out of me on episode 6 was if they would re-air the 93 finals, Eastern Conference Finals between the Bulls and Knicks, I'd watch every play. That series was so good and so many great memories. I mean, the Jordan Stark stuff is just awesome.
And I think you're going to get that feeling in episode 9 probably, where, like I said, they left with the cliffhanger with Reggie Miller saying, we thought we had the better team.
Right.
Eastern Conference Finals. Jordan only went to a Game 7, I think, twice. And one of them was against this
Pacers.
Yep. Pacers team, which was a loaded team with Rick Smits and Reggie Miller and Jalen Rose.
And the Davises. Oh, yeah, they were really good. But I would watch that 93 Eastern Conference Finals series over and over and over. It was so good. So physical. It was great to watch. I really loved it.
So we will talk more about The Last Dance on the show. Rod Thorne is going to join us. Rod Thorne, who was an NBA executive for years, actually drafted Michael Jordan and then was the architect of the 92 Dream Team. He's actually now an advisor for the Wizards.
That's right.
He's getting paid all the hell they get.
So we'll get his take coming up at 9 o'clock. They really don't show any Wizards run from Michael Jordan's last hits. They should do a documentary about his 2 years with the Wizards. It'd be the last dance.
Yeah, why do you want to sully a great product by mucking it up with the Wizards?
Two bad plays by MJ in the whole thing so far. When he came back and he got the ball stripped by Nick Anderson, and then when he kind of had a bad pass there in the last moments to Pippen there in that series.
Yeah, I mean, they showed an air ball there too. They just showed that the 45 wasn't the same as 23.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was what was so you forget that. So who was it that said that?
Nick Anderson.
Yeah, Nick Anderson said 45 is not the same as 23. So MJ wore 23 the next time out and then never wore 45 again.
And he lit him up. He lit him up the next time out.
Oh, the other thing that was fascinating was the footage of MJ. You know, we'd heard the reports, but that, you know, he had a court built when he was doing Space Jam. And he literally had NBA All-Star games there every night after filming all day. And it was just simply to get MJ back in basketball shape. And these guys were paid. Rodman was, I mean, the biggest players in the NBA were there working out, running scrimmages every night for MJ to get back in shape. And then he came back as a killer. They probably shouldn't have done it.
Right. And Reggie Miller said that those were some of the best games he ever played in.
Yeah.
Pickup games.
Pickup games.
I don't know, for whatever
night.
Reason, they kept showing like Juwan Howard dunking.
But like so it Juwan was a Howard, who's I guess, who was of a the NBA. Right. Showing up on the set of Space Jam every night. Just balling so MJ could get back in basketball shape, and then he came back and they won 72 games. And then they won 3 straight.
I remember watching a lot of the Bulls games on DirecTV on the NBA. I don't know, was it called League Pass?
Yeah.
When I was living at the Seabrook house before I got married, I would just watch the West Coast games right there on League Pass. It was that year too, and just watching a lot of the Bulls games when they won 72 and staying up until, 1 in the morning when they were playing the Warriors or the Lakers. Oh, man, it was just – if I could take myself back to those days, Joe Pa, I would.
Of course.
Well, sick about it? That seems like only about a few years ago. It's amazing how fast time's gone since
then. Oh, it's way in the rear view.
It's way back.
So far back.
But, I mean, the 72 game, like, we all remember that season. It was insane.
Absolutely.
The other thing, and I know we're going to break, the other thing that just jumps out at me was – like how I could understand why Michael kept stepping away from the game. All right, it was one thing he got annoyed by Krause and all those guys, but he was hounded literally every second.
Oh, man, he couldn't go anywhere.
I basically ruined the episode for Jason. But
that's
when
fine.
When he's in the hotel smoking a cigar, he's like, it's the only place where he had peace and quiet.
I know.
And he was like, this is
too much.
When
he came off the bus, he was hounded by a million fans, and then he had to go talk to the media.
They had him coming.
He couldn't even breathe.
They had him coming out of his hotel elevator. As soon as that elevator door opened on the lobby, it was like the Pope or something. It was insane.
Yeah,
it went from quiet and peace to insanity when the elevator doors opened.
Yep, it was. How about when he told Randy Brown that he just got a ticket from God?
Yeah, that was good.
Then he said, hey, get out of here, get out of here. I just hooked you.
Yeah.
All right, do have to take a break. Phone number you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can also text us on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Same number, standard message data charges may apply, and tweet us at Junks Radio. As I mentioned, coming up at 9 o'clock, Rod Thorne, the guy who drafted Michael Jordan, right here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Cakes, I don't know if I missed this last week when I was off.
Yeah.
When did you change the beard? This doesn't even look like a goatee. Are you doing the Valdez soul patch? I mean, the drab soul patch?
It's a little bit of hair on the chin. It was an accident.
Okay.
I was trying to thin out the mustache,
yeah.
But I don't have the proper tools for it at my house.
Yeah.
I don't have like a trimmer. I just have a set of clippers, and I have no guards for them. So I was just trying to touch up the stash area, and I cut way too much on the right side. And at that point, it was I had to get rid of the mustache at that point. So then I went like full Amish, like chops all the way around, like handlebars.
Right.
And I said, well, that looks terrible. So then I shaved the beard, and all that's left is a little bit on the chin.
I actually think it looks really good. I mean, I didn't even notice it. JP's, yeah. You know, you're a guy. I don't notice anything on a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're staring at each other on Zoom.
Yeah.
It's been the talk of the producer room.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Cakes just has a new look, like, every day.
He does change his look very
frequently.
Well,
I'm a chameleon. Now, this one was, again, not by design. I was just trying to maintain the beard.
Can I say something?
But it went awry. It went off the rails, and I didn't have any other recourse.
Now that you mention it, I think it's the best you've ever looked.
You're silly. I love getting props.
I didn't even notice it, Cakes, but you look fantastic now that they say I like the look.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What do you think, Valdez?
I don't really like it. I think he should go clean shaven if he's going to do that.
And it's got a little edge to it.
Yeah, I don't want to go clean shaven, man. I just don't.
But we have noticed that your nose is less red today than it has been last week and the week before.
Maybe it's silly lighting.
But
I don't know.
But we have had this theory here in the producer room.
All right. Yeah.
That since Cakes got Amy this Mark McGrath rock star Mother's Day cameo.
I did, yeah.
That he's trying to get like a rocker look going on.
Yeah, he's channeling his inner 90s rocker.
It's really
yeah,
because he's doing like your Fred Durst.
I like the theory.
he looks like a lead singer for POD.
He does. That's what it jumped out at me.
I kind of look like, really? I talked about this with Danny yesterday during our free show. Which looks like we're going to be doing in perpetuity, but that's another point.
You can sell t-shirts. We decided to do that.
Right, you might as well. I kind of look like the lead singer of Disturbed, if you look him up. Dave Draymond. He's bald. Now, the main difference is he has like two hoop earrings like in his chin somehow, and I'm not going to go for that
one. If you do that, and then I don't know you.
I don't rock that hard.
Yeah.
But I guess I could look a little bit like that dude. But that, so, it's not intentional.
So it was a shave gone wrong. But you were doing the shaving, right?
Oh, yeah, it was me. But it was the problem is that I had the improper tool for doing
it. Got you.
It would be like pulling a weed with a big giant chainsaw. Like I had the wrong tool for the job. I needed like a trimmer, which I don't have.
By the
so
way,
on
my house.
Tuesday, I finally pulled the trigger, and I would say that it was a combined haircut, me and my wife. So I have the clippers.
I bet you gave her a haircut.
I mostly did the side myself. I did the side, and then she did the top.
I've already gotten enough haircuts.
Right.
Personally. But I think it's a game changer. I might do it for a while.
Really?
Sure. Save me $25 every time.
There you go. You got to save that money.
Because I've seen them do this haircut on me a million times where they use the two. So you just basically go all the way around, and then you kind of leave the top, and then just do finger length.
You have to have a steady hand, though, and my wife is usually pretty good. But so she bought some clippers because Stevie was going crazy. He couldn't handle it. His hair was like an afro. So she cut his hair this weekend, and the whole thing was torture. I came home in the middle of it. I think I had gone, shocker, I went to go to the liquor store, and I came back, and they were screaming at each other. It was mostly Stevie screaming at her. He didn't like her technique. She was used to using, like, the one or the two or whatever, and she would do a little over here, then she'd do a little on top, then a little over there. He was like, no, just go, you know, because you go to the, you sit in a barber chair all the time, you know their routine, and he's like, just do, you know, the one all the way around, then the two on the top, and then we're done. It's easy. It's not hard. And then they're yelling at each other. And then when she's done, man, like over the ear, those cuts, it was a little high. Put it this way. He's been wearing a hat for like 3 straight days.
Yeah. Well, what did he expect?
Who's he going to go see anyway? It doesn't really matter at this point.
He was, at the end of the day, he said thanks. He had to get it done, but he said he would never let her do it ever again.
No, man. The only thing is, look, it was a pain in the ass. It took a while. And then even to do the back, because I did the back, you know, you got to use a mirror. And like I said, we got a toddler here in the house. And, like, for her to have, like, clippers on me for an hour and then using scissors, I mean, it took some time. But at the end of the day, it looks pretty much the same as my other haircuts.
At this point, I'm holding strong. I'm not going to get a haircut until life is back to normal.
Right.
I'm not going to get a haircut until life's back to normal. I'll shave and everything, but it's kind of like my protest. I've just, and it's also just like, remind me that this is all just awful.
Well, when you say when life is back to normal, you mean when salons are opened up?
No.
Oh.
No. It's just kind of a general,
What is normal then?
A mourning for this whole period of time. Normal is I could go to a restaurant and I don't have to have plexiglass between me and my neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that, you know, back to pre.
What about when restaurants allow just outdoor seating?
That's not normal to me.
All right. It's going to be a while then, bro.
Yes. I can tell you this. Yesterday, I don't know what you guys did yesterday for Mother's Day, but yesterday after I'd gone to Bowie and visited my mom and we actually got Panera, picked up some Panera, and we had lunch. We're in the porch and she's inside. And eventually we did a little stuff outside. Saw EB's mom. I think your sister was over there visiting. They were kind of having an outside get-together. That's kind of what a lot of people were doing.
We came a little after you guys.
But when I drove back home, we went through downtown Crown where we have Roost Chris and Paladar and Coastal Flats.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal Flats, curbside, killed it. I mean, there were so many people out there waiting for their food, cars. It was unbelievable. I know it's a special occasion, and it was really nice weather-wise yesterday, but there is definitely a hunger for going to, you know, nice restaurants.
Sure. Well, especially, too, 100%. On holidays when nobody's wife wants to make lunch or dinner. So we did Chinese takeout, and we waited forever. We ordered it an hour in advance, and then we showed up late, and my wife still had to wait because she's the only one that had a mask. Now I'm with the other kids in the van. Mm-hmm. She had to wait 25 minutes. 30 minutes out by the sidewalk because they're understaffed. They had two people working. One person working the front, one person cooking. It's not enough.
Not enough people.
But I will say this. Yesterday was a spectacular day. Oh, my God.
I mean, weather-wise,
Oh, my God, was that an unbelievable day.
Yep, I agree.
And you know, I always feel a little uncomfortable talking about visiting my mom and stuff because I know it's the first Mother's Day. Jason doesn't have his mother.
Believe me, I thought about it a lot too.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I'm sensitive to it, Jason.
That's all right.
But we went to go. It was the first time that I've been really in person other than dropping off groceries to see my mom and my in-laws. And we just did a bit where, like with my in-laws, they were outside and they sat on chairs and we sat, you know, off the patio. We were on the grass, they were on the patio. And my kids are doing backflips and everything and running around and I'm playing lacrosse with my son. We had a spectacular time. Then we went to my mom's and we did in the front yard. It was the exact same thing. And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was and it was because the weather allowed that to happen and because it felt totally safe outside. And it was like a sense of normalcy for a couple hours. It was really nice.
I drove down to Annapolis yesterday with the family to go see Teresa's mom.
Oh, did you?
Yep. And we just knocked on the door, surprised her. She didn't even know we were going to be there.
Right.
Brought her some flowers, and she was all excited. And then she came outside. She invited us in, but we said, no. Okay. We're going to stay out here, you know, because she's in her late 70s. So she sat on her steps, and we just talked for a half hour, 45 minutes.
Wasn't it really nice?
Yeah. But then we went down to and then we said goodbye to her. Then we drove down to Annapolis.
Yeah.
And parked the car, and we had a dog, so we took the dog out, and we ordered some crab cake sandwiches from Harvest, which is right there in downtown Annapolis, right next to the water.
Valdez approves. He loves it.
Right next to Ego Alley.
Yeah.
Oh, they were fantastic. By the way, everyone in Maryland was in Annapolis yesterday.
Oh, they were.
Was it either Annapolis except for you guys.
Ocean City, too.
Apparently. I mean, there were so many people. It was like a normal, Sunday weekend in Annapolis. Everyone was out. I mean, there were so many people down there. And believe me, they weren't social distancing.
Well, outside.
I know, it's outside. It's different.
It's okay.
But there were millions of people down there. Anyway, it was great. The weather was awesome. We sat outside next to the water, ate the crab cake sandwiches, and just said, all right, see ya. And then we went back home.
Yeah. What an amazing day.
Yeah, we enjoyed. My mom has a really nice backyard.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. I mean, EB and I grew up playing baseball in my parents' backyard. It's pretty sizable. So we ended up doing some stuff in the backyard eventually, although my mom doesn't walk that great. So she went outside with the mask for a while. But we had the Panera lunch with just us sitting down on the porch and my mom inside.
That's fine. Same
different.
Thing. As long as you can interact. Did she have a screen or did she do the
we
glass
have,
door?
It's a glass door.
So you couldn't even talk?
No, we could talk. It's right there. She pulls up the seat right next to it, and we're on the chairs and the porch.
Did you have the glass door closed?
Yeah, the glass door was closed.
You did have that, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you bring it all outside, it just felt like old times again because you guys are in the same space.
Yeah, yeah. You're actually face-to-face with people.
For the first time, I've felt normal stuff, in months, and it was really, really nice. So, I don't know. The weather couldn't have acted, and
weather
that was
great.
A blessing. Like,
weather was awesome.
That was literally a blessing. That
By
kind
way,
of
I
weather.
I want to say I saw a picture of cakes. You stepped up. Did you make Amy pancakes or French toast, something like that for Mother's Day?
I double dipped. I made French toast in the morning, and I made chicken parm for dinner.
Look at that.
Nice. A little silly.
Well, this is
you know what I did?
Yeah.
I went to McDonald's and I got my wife loves the McDonald's iced coffee.
Well, who doesn't?
I got that and I got pancakes.
Delicious.
And then we did Panera for lunch in Bowie just because that's something my mom enjoys.
Very good.
My gift to my wife is, and I think every guy should do it, probably every guy does, is I said, you're not doing anything today. You're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. We got it. So we got up early. We did the breakfast. My daughter had prepared and made Belgian waffles, and we did all that, and it was awesome. So we were one for one, and we're just hitting homers left and right. And then we go to the in-laws and to my mother's, and we pick up Chinese food, and we bring those to our parents. And we have such a feast for Chinese food that I didn't have to cook dinner.
Nice.
At home.
Beautiful.
And so I literally, all we had to do, and my daughter did most of it, was make Belgian waffles.
Perfect.
It was perfect.
It's a great day.
And then Dee's whole joke was, I don't want this day to end because y'all are just going to go back to doing nothing tomorrow.
And you're like, yep.
We're like, yeah, it's great to be the king.
She knows you too well.
Great to be the king. What can I tell you?
All right, if you want to chime in on anything, phone number is 800-636-1067. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Rod Thorne will join us coming at 9 o'clock. He's the guy who drafted Michael Jordan. We'll talk about The Last Dance coming up next. What does Shaquille O'Neal think about the NBA returning?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan this Monday morning. Catch us on TV on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to get into the UFC returning, whether it's a blueprint for other leagues, because I can just give you a sneak peek. I thought it was a home run, 10 out of 10, the UFC 249 card was fantastic. And no fans didn't bother me at all. Maybe for the first fight. But after that, the way that they produced it, and because it was a great card, and I was into the fights and what was going to happen, it didn't bother me at all. So it's weird for a second, but then you have live sports. And all of these leagues are dying to get back out there. And one of the leagues, which has different proposals, is the NBA. You know, we've heard about kind of the Disney World proposal where all the teams get together and they have – an abbreviated playoff schedule. Shaquille O'Neal talked about this over the weekend, and he doesn't think they should do it. He thinks they should just scrap the season right now because whoever wins is not going to get any respect. There's always going to be an asterisk, and I just disagree with Shaq. I totally disagree with him.
Yeah, I mean, there's an asterisk in the sense that the Rockets have an asterisk for me.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what
those
I was thinking.
Two dubs.
Of.
Those are asterisks because MJ wasn't around. But by the same token, you know, when the Skins won with the Scabs in 82, I don't – or whatever year it was, I don't – I think it was 82, right? Or is that 87? When I always get that all confused.
But it was the later years.
When they, I think it was 87. When they did, I don't look back at that and go, well, that championship was less worthy. Not at all. Not at all. So – I think they should do it, if nothing else, for the public good. Because
I mean, there's going to be an asterisk for all of the team sports when they come back, if they shorten their seasons. Maybe not the NFL if they don't shorten their season, but certainly with the NHL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, if they come back, I think the only reason they're going to come back would be just for money.
Yeah.
These players want to get paid.
It's also a sense of normalcy for them.
Yeah. So I would agree.
The players want the money, but I also think that there are some players that don't care as much about the money. It's legacy. So I just think about LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron had a chance to win another ring this year, which would get him to four. Now, I'm in your camp, Jason. I don't think anybody who watches Michael Jordan and LeBron James, if you're objective, would say LeBron James is the better player. However, he has been to, I think, eight or nine NBA finals, and he's got three rings. This was a year where he legitimately had a chance to win another ring. So if they have some sort of season playoffs this year, he could have four. And all of a sudden, he's getting closer. One from Kobe, two from Michael Jordan. And with Anthony Davis by his side, if Anthony Davis resigns, you know, he's got a chance. He's got a chance to get to six, a realistic chance, because he might be the MVP of the league this year. He's still playing great basketball. It looks like he's, you know, I thought for a second last year that maybe he was on the decline and he had injury problems, but this year he's playing as good as he ever has. Mm-hmm. So, yes, a lot of the players want to come back for money, but LeBron wants to come back to chase Jordan's legacy.
Well, I was just saying that the league, yes, the players want their paychecks, but the league desperately needs to get back on TV to get the, I mean, the owners want their money, too.
They want that ad revenue rolling in.
So they want to get those games back on TV. I would agree with Shaq that there will be an asterisk, but that's just the way it is this year. I mean, that's just
who cares if there's an asterisk?
We got to deal with it.
I don't care. Control.
I don't care. I just want to see games.
I'm there with EB. There's often an asterisk. You know, sometimes...
Well, not like this. This is different.
But a lot of times you'll talk about, well, they won the title because, you know, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry were hurt. Mm-hmm. Right?
There's always something.
Do we knock the Raptors because they didn't face a fully loaded Golden State Warriors team last year?
Wasn't there an NBA season where they only played 50 games and then they still had a champion?
There was a shortened season. Yeah.
I mean, I can't even remember who won the title, but I don't think
might have been the Spurs, but
I think it was the Spurs that year, yeah.
We don't really say, oh, but that one isn't worthy.
Well, you just forget about it, yeah.
Right, so I think the same.
But this is one that you'll never forget.
Now, what Shaq points out, and this could happen, it's just hypothetical, he's worried about a team which, let's say they go to best of five or best of three even in the playoff series. Well, now you got a chance at a team that probably wouldn't have a chance to win a seven-game series at pulling off an upset. And he's worried about, let's say, a five seed coming out of the Eastern Conference or Western Conference and winning it all. Well, so what?
Yeah, who cares?
So it is.
That makes for a great story. Either way.
Every time I read something from Silver in the NBA, it just seems negative. So, I mean, I don't even know if it's possible to come back, to be honest with you, just based on the stories I'm reading.
All they need is for the testing to be more available to the average person. And right now there are certain states where they're begging people to get tests, and they're not getting them. People don't want them. They don't care. Mm-hmm. So once it gets to, you know, keep building up more and more abilities to do the testing, and then there's no social issue, and then this is a bit like the White House press corps where they just, and everybody at the White House, they just test them every single day. They'll just do that with the NBA. They'll do that with all the leagues.
And it'll just be weird to watch NBA playoff games without any fans.
That will be weird, but
that'll be really strange.
I'm telling you that you get beyond it. It was a little strange. So I watched the pay-per-view portion of the UFC, and it was a little strange. The first fight, which was Greg Hardy. By the way, completely unimpressed with Greg Hardy.
Really?
He ended up getting the win, but that was a boring fight. The rest of them were fantastic. And Greg Hardy even said he adjusted his game plan because he could hear Daniel Cormier, one of the announcers, saying what Greg Hardy needed to do.
Right.
And Greg Hardy adjusted on the fly, so I'll give him some credit for that. But after that, and again, it might have been because I was so into the fights and my heart's pounding just to figure out what's going to happen and Ferguson, Gaethje, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you get beyond the no fans. And I think if it's produced well and the UFC produced it well, I think the NBA, they're going to focus on the action on the court. You're not going to get your crowd shots, right? So the action on the court, and if they have good announcers, I don't think you're going to be bothered by it that much at all.
They could really accent it if they took some tips from the PLL and from even like the XFL, and they gave more access to like what's going on the sideline, right? Mm-hmm. You can mic up the coaches more, mic up the players more. So there are things they could do, I think, to help increase interest when you don't have, you know, fans there, and it's going to be not as naturally an explosive environment.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I didn't fully understand what I was reading about Major League Baseball and the antibodies test.
Yeah. I only read a little bit about it. The only thing I don't want to act like I know. I only read a little bit, and it's just that a very small percentage of them had tested positive for the antibodies, which they thought was good. I looked at that as not that good. Because it would be better to have more.
Right. I was kind of thinking the same thing you were.
I think I don't know why they think that's great. But you know, whatever.
But I don't know if I don't know if those were players that were tested. They were just employees of the league.
Employees, yeah. There was like 6,000, but it might have been some players, some trainers, some front office people, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
So only 60, only 60 of the 6,000 tested positive for the antibodies.
Yeah. So I actually don't even think that really means anything. Again, when testing gets to the point where they could test these guys every day and they won't face any social backlash, then they'll be up and running.
Now, would this be a big asterisk? I think we're all cool with it happening. But in the UFC card, like Jason and I had Luke Thomas on the show on Saturday, and the news had just broken that one of the fighters on the card tested positive and his two cornermen tested positive. Now, the unique thing about that was if you have another test, like if they decided, well, we're going to test everybody that he had contact with, it was going to take more than 24 hours to get the results. So there may be more positive results that come in later this week, but they still had the card. So it's the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, and a guy tests positive, a star. Anthony Davis tests positive. Well, now it is.
Of course.
You know, but I think that you just say that it's just like EB mentioned with the NFL and a strike-shortened year, a scab year, that it's just going to be a different year. Like, it just might be the case. Because, like I said, last year, I believe the Raptors played Golden State, and Golden State didn't have Kevin Durant, and Golden State didn't have Klay Thompson, but for a game or two, whatever it was.
Yeah. No, you're right. But again, like you said, we don't care. We just want to see it. It's better than watching.
We just want the product.
It's going to happen.
But as desperate as I was for product over the weekend, I didn't buy the UFC.
No, neither did I, but I did wager on every single fight.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to ask you.
I know you wagered.
Luke Thomas picked some fatties because
I went 16.
12 and 4 out of the 16 plays.
Yep. Now, were you profitable then? Or were they all favorites? You know what I mean?
No, I did some. Well, he picked all the matches, like the outright winners. I did all of the round bets. So I went over and under on certain rounds. And I really came out big on that because a couple of them were high odds, like plus 165, plus 185. And I hit both of those, and
he was all over it.
So he picked all of the matches. So I went with all of his picks.
How'd he go on that?
I think he only lost a couple because Ferguson lost. So he picked Ferguson. So I did that, but I also picked the round total, and I hit that. That was plus 165.
Oh, very nice.
And so he lost one other one, but yeah, he was on fire and went 12-4. I didn't watch one match.
Well, he was all over like on like the
just hit your account in the morning.
On the Ngannou fight, I believe Luke told us, he was like, this fight's either going to be a minute or it's going to go the distance, and it lasted 19 seconds.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. That's the big dude from – that's the big chiseled dude, right?
Yes.
Ngannou? Yeah.
He's a monster.
He just pummeled that guy.
Oh, my God.
What is he, like 6'7", 260?
He just threw, like, some crazy punches, and then a left hook landed, and it was like the guy went to sleep. It's just going to happen.
I don't know anything about that dude. I guess we got to go to break. I don't know anything about that dude, Ferguson, other than I guess he was the main event guy. Why did he get – I heard he got smoked. Did he get smoked in that match?
Yes. Yes. And, in fact, he broke his orbital bone in his eye. I mean, he just – the other guy's really good, too. I mean, the other guy has like a 7 knockout streak.
Like, how'd Luke get that one wrong?
Well, Ferguson had a 10-year winning streak and was –
Yeah, he said he was the number one. He could have been the best in the world. Yeah, I asked Luke. Says, so is Tony Ferguson the best in the world? He said, yeah, he could be. But he also said Gaethje could get him.
Yep.
Yeah, and
he wouldn't be surprised if Gaethje won, and obviously did.
What was the style of fight? Were they slugging or are they on the ground?
Slugging.
Oh, okay.
Slugging.
Yeah.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. Anyway, interesting comments from Shaq. He believes the NBA should scrap the season. I don't think that's the way they're going to go. We will talk a little more NBA and talk The Last Dance with Rod Thorne, the guy who drafted Michael Jordan. He will join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.